Okay, we're going to go ahead and get ready. Can I have the roll call, please?
Burt. Hapler.
Here.
Ormsby.
Here.
Peters. Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes of the November 21st meeting as submitted.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the meeting on November 21st, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So good evening and welcome everyone again. This is the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for December 19th, 2018. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters relative to planning and zoning. I see a number of you in the audience tonight. We love participation. So at the appropriate time, I will recognize someone in the audience and say, please provide your input to the podium to my right and to your left. And we'd love to have your input on a particular case. And with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, our first case involves a rezoning. You essentially have this area here, which is the Glenbrook subdivision. We've got an area that's R5 and then R3. Underlying land use here is UMI, urban medium intensity, which the petitioner is requesting a rezoning to that very zoning class, and that underlying land use facilitates this request. Glenbrook Ridge has already been platted, and this gives you a zoning idea of where this R5 is, and then the remainder being R3. That was the way this was initially laid out, and you currently have underway certain construction of what are multifamily apartment structures that have already been approved through site plan. This is the plat as it is joined together, and the areas that are under consideration that are R3 are lots 20 through 62 in this area, and then lots 1 through 19 and 63 and 64 right here, which are R5. This is a concept showing what the developer proposes. What has changed is this addition of a senior housing area here, removal of housing along this perimeter here, single family installation here, and two commercial areas here which are intended for office use. This area has already received site plan approval for the multi-family structures, and in the middle, what was anticipated before as townhouses is shown here. Potentially, the senior housing group may want to take one or two of these lots to have an additional senior housing area potentially right here. But multifamily has always been anticipated throughout this area. I want to show what some of these elevations look like for the senior type housing. We can see the multi-story structure somewhat in a L-shaped form. This is another location that Vintage is using as an example. Here's the interior as they demonstrate typical apartment that is within these. I guess there actually might be even sold out as condos for the participants. And then there is also, in some cases, assisted living and even greater intensive care treatment for the residents. Staff in reviewing this rezoning recommend that the Planning and Zoning Commission look at the comp plan, the DCA standards, and the zoning ordinance, and recommending any approval of this particular rezoning, R3 and R5 to UMI. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay, thanks, Greg. John, any updates since publication of our documents?
I guess I would start
The developer held a neighborhood meeting at our suggestion, perhaps strong-arming, and they did, in fact, we gave them an extensive mailing list, and the mailing went out inviting all of the neighboring properties to the neighborhood meeting. This very concept was shown to them at that. It was relatively well received. Staff has had several phone calls about this. None have been negative at this point. This will be, in my opinion, our true first development character area, where we have the mixture of uses that we've always talked about in the new zoning. Under development character area, it talks about you should be evaluating the mixture of uses, how they relate to each other. It talks about having a smooth transition from one to the other. And from the many of the comments that were made in our zoning workshop just the other night, there was discussion about the ability to have more say during the site plan development phase. And in a development character area, you certainly have more of that ability, because you are evaluating whether it is a smooth transition from one to another. You are evaluating the given site plans if they are complementary to each other. So this will be our first, in my opinion, real development character area. The developer has listened to staff, I think, rather strongly. They pulled away the duplexes that were up against the single-family homes that are adjacent to Field Psych, and tried to make that as much green area as possible. And I think they're here before you this evening to try to explain what that concept is. And unless you have any further questions, I know it is our first one, but this appears to be the mixture that we were calling for. And in the each of the development character areas, it talks about the desired mix, and we have given them that desired mix, and that's how this final product came up.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Turn to the commission. Questions from comments from the commission?
Yes.
Ann?
In looking at the original plan, there's a significant change in the traffic flow. And I'd just like to hear maybe from the chief, other city staff on the changes. Now we have, I won't say a dead end, but it's just kind of a turnaround, and where before we had a complete loop. So talk to us about that.
We did have some discussion within the last couple of days with the developer about this project and about access. The cul-de-sac that they're showing meets the city requirements, and we had discussion about access to the other buildings that they are considering and will show at a future time. So they are well aware of our access requirements. The flow is not as easy as it was before, but it will meet the requirements.
We've also had discussions with the same meeting with the engineer. You know, the cul-de-sac, they already have it designed to our new standard, which is the larger ball. We don't have the homes on that large stretch for the north side, which gives us additional snow storage. We've talked that we're probably going to stop the right-of-way. Greg, basically the Williams Pipeline easement, and then anything west of there would be private through there, because we would not have a good turnaround for our maintenance vehicles through there. It's because the rest of that south of there is already a private roadway. It would have to be built city standard, but we would not be maintaining that portion. Like Chief said, we've covered fire access and...
So it is built to your standards?
Yes, it would be.
Okay, good.
Steve, did you say there are other buildings being proposed at a future time on this property?
They will. They're looking at different arrangement of that elderly portion there.
Potential additions to it.
But that will come before you at some point.
I think that's what Greg was describing to you. One of those townhouse units, from the graphic being displayed, I describe them as the orange ones right in the middle, might turn into more of a, and I don't want to speak for the developer, perhaps an Alzheimer's unit rather than a townhouse. So complementary to what the senior housing is.
So similar size and structure, but just different use?
Yeah, we've stressed to them that when they showed the concept, we wanted them to have a firm grasp on that concept.
But not necessarily similar in size, Janessa. They were talking about stepping down the elevations from the three-story to a two-story to a one-story for the memory care.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
So one of your comments, Greg, in here was about a future replat. Is that related to this change, or?
This is the right-of-way area approximately in here, and in order to accomplish building on that locale, you see there's right away here. This has to be a certain portion given back to the developer that currently belongs to the city. So a replat's going to be required, and then in how they want to delineate this lot for the senior living and any other changes they want to make will require that replatting.
Others in the commission?
Yeah, I still have a question. One of the things I'm concerned about is just all the different uses that are in this concept plan. We've got multifamily in the, I'm going to call it pink, that is two or three stories. And then we have the orange. Is that also going to be similar construction, or is that?
It's townhouse, so it's considered multifamily.
But it's going to be?
But it's going to be each have its own individual entryway for the townhouse development.
Okay, but it's going to be like a smaller scale. That's all right. So then we'll be stepping down from the apartments to the townhouse, let's say.
Yeah.
And then we go into single family above that.
Yeah, and this is the old R5 area essentially.
Okay. There is no commercial in here other than the two. There's like a financial advisor and.
But that's the location. Yeah, those two lots.
But other than that, we don't see any commercial. The reason I'm asking is because the UMI has a commercial.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we limit that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a way to approve this without allowing commercial in here, other than what we see. I'm fine with financial advisors, doctor's offices. I'm not fine with a
700.
Contractor's yard.
Well, you can.
You know, and I don't know, there's a FAR number of 2 for UMI. I'm not sure what that means.
In Florida area ratio.
Okay.
Okay. The square footage of all structures compared to the overall square footage of the entire development itself. That's what the Florida area ratio is.
Okay.
Regarding the commercial, again, you will have more leeway as to what you may or may not approve under the traditional zoning. If it was C1, it listed A, B, C, and D as a use that was appropriate, and if they came to you with that, it was approved or disapproved if either it was enlisted or wasn't. Mm-hmm. Under here, you get to look at it when they come with the final product and say, yes, it does seem to fit in with this overall development, or no, it doesn't.
Okay, good. Fine, thank you.
Yeah, and I guess just conceptually along that line, the spirit of this, I think, is exciting, as you noted. I like the idea that we've, in a sense, it feels much more open than what we previously looked at and could potentially be there under the R5 and R3. The green spaces feel good, the walking path surrounding it gives that open feel, the pond down there and the water feature. I frankly think it looks great. So to the extent we can live, the final result comes in looking like this, it looks great to me. So that would be my general comment.
And the mixture is actually kind of a requirement of a DACA.
I like the way it transitions, rental, multifamily, townhouse, single family, a little smattering of that and some green space all around it. I think it's pretty spot on to what
we
envision.
And it's hard to see on that concept, but they're incorporating some recreational trails internally.
I see that.
In there, yeah. And the DACA talks about that they should have amenities such as that.
And it utilizes the floodplain areas down there that are somewhat unusable anyway, so it's a great concept. So anyone else from the commission with regard to that?
Yeah, I would second that this looks a lot better than when we first saw it, mm-hmm. and I think it's exciting to see what we've been working towards come out.
Could be the poster child. Yeah.
We'll see.
So anyone in the audience with regard to this case that would like to provide input? Yes, sir.
What will you do with the traffic?
Can I have you go back to the podium? We'd love to catch you on the microphone. Just give us your name and your interest in the case.
I live across the street directly.
Wait till you get to the mic. We can't pick it up till then.
My name's Larry Smith. I live across on Black Line Circle. What will we do with the traffic? Because it's difficult to get in and out early and late already. I mean, will Devil's Glen Road be widened or something?
At some point, yes. Devil's Glen will absolutely be four lanes through there. Right now, that is not in any community improvement program through the city. We did tell the developer that due to the increase in density versus the single family, that we will require a traffic study to evaluate the potential need for a turn lane now at that north entrance. We'll have to see how that comes back, obviously.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks for your input. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Steve Wilger. My wife Trish and I live at 3213 Field Psych Drive. Our house and our property back up to the proposed development. I came to the city council about 12 years ago when Jeff O'Rourke bought the property and McManus was going to build what they originally showed us as high-end custom homes. When we came, what was presented then to the city council after we saw the high-end city homes were duplex structures throughout the whole complex. We were successful on getting a berm separation zone and evergreen trees planted along the entirety of the complex. Luckily for us, I guess I would say, for the next 10 years, the property sat as still a piece of farmland that was farmed. It was bought again. So it was rezoned from R1 to R3. Then the property was repurchased by someone else once the zoning got changed from R3 to R5. And they came in with something similar. Well, earlier they showed you the conceptual plan that the developer had at the time. We did go to the meeting about a month ago with the developer at the city facility on Devil's Glen, and were somewhat surprised that it was the one behind us. We thought we might be going to the Windmiller development that's just west of us. We looked at the concept for the new plan, talked to the developer. The developer talked about replacing the trees that had already been planted behind us on the berm from 4-foot to 10-foot trees to give us some greater separation. Our concern, though, as we continue to think about this development is as this development grows and should you decide to change it to a UMI zone, the structures get higher and higher. Before, we were looking at one-story structures behind us with the grading that has been done that would have had the roof lines below our vision off our property. Now that we're talking about developing not just the proposed senior facility, but taking out the townhouses that are there in orange and building more three-story senior care that could include Alzheimer's and assisted living as well. Once again, these structures start getting taller and they start getting closer and closer to the existing properties. We feel that the size and the magnitude of that part of the development, it goes from three-story all the way up to the back, and then there's a few houses. There isn't a transition plan there. it's of huge magnitude. And should any of us that back up to that plan decide to put our houses on properties on the market, the first thing they're going to see is these large structures behind us, and where is their privacy, or where is their residential area? You know, we've seen developers come into this project and say one thing and build something else. We're concerned that this is just going to be so large coming up to our property that it's going to be a detriment to us.
Okay. Steve, you've referenced WEIR several times. Is there a group you're representing, or I'm a little confused?
I've talked to my neighbor to the west, Ginny and Eugene, and they think that those tall structures would be as well, but WEIR could include my wife and I.
Okay, thanks. Either the developer or staff, what's the grade elevation difference? I know it drops down quite a bit as you go down to the south from the north to south, it drops down. What kind of grade difference are we looking at relative to roof structure height?
I can get the engineers up here, but from about where the home is located to where grade would be for the senior, about 35 foot. Didn't mean to hit that.
Sedative.
So am I.
Thank you.
Okay. So about a 35 foot from the grade of the senior to approximately a lot of the gentleman.
And then what would be the roof height down there of the structure?
You're gonna have a three-story structure with probably a 412 pitch. So you're gonna be another, I'd say total about 35 foot, maybe 40 foot. And then just also to clarify, the senior housing there and the Alzheimer's and the memory care, those, what we have and what we're proposing, those won't be a three-story structure. The Alzheimer's will be a one-story that's going to extend off there to the east to the orange boxes, if that's what you want to say. Yeah, so if it extends over there, that'll be a one-story structure. Grade go a little bit to the west, where the, so that would possibly be a two-story structure. And then the senior housing, yes, it will be a three-story structure. And I'm anticipating it's going to be 35 to 40 foot tall.
So just if I'm putting the math to it then, Steve, so if at your grade and you're above grade with your home, you'd be looking out over the roofs of those then, not into them.
And also, I did speak to him about putting the 10-foot tree. We have 4-foot trees on the berms now, so we had talked about replacing those with 10-foot trees or adding 10-foot trees to try to help that situation of looking out and not seeing a rooftop. So.
And then scale-wise, how far are we horizontally from that building to the property line to the north, ballpark? Like the north end of your senior facility to the north property line, ballpark.
About, yep. 250 foot.
Okay. So you got roughly a 250 foot setback plus the depth of the yard, which looks like it's pretty substantial there from the home.
Yeah, and I just want to state that, this is to address the concerns. That's the facility that we put on for the neighborhood meeting, and that's what we're proposing for this. So the building, if I'm telling you 250 foot, and I don't want to be, well, it's 213. Sorry,
all
park
close enough. Yeah.
So
okay.
I
just want to get a.
I get it.
Perspective.
And that's
on
why
it.
I put the green space area up there at the top, and that's why I put the cul-de-sac to try to address some of the. I know there was a concern earlier about, well, we didn't have flow, and I did that just because there won't be near the amount of flow that you need for all the duplexes.
And then just so I'm trying to get the full perspective, could have been or was proposed now, if we had gone with the original design with the, were they duplexes up there or
yes,
single
it was,
family?
It was R3.
Okay,
yeah,
so
right
duplexes
there.
Up
yeah,
there.
There
so
it
if
is
we,
right there.
All right, perfect. There we go. So if we had a duplex sitting on that lot as proposed up there, how high would that roof have been relative to the property line? Where I'm getting at is, would Steve be looking at the back of a house versus now he's got lots of open space?
Well, if you've got a 30-foot drop and you're looking at a single-story duplex, you're looking at a rooftop that might be 20 foot.
Yeah, but it was going to be within 50 feet of your property line instead of 300.
Still, it's at the bottom of that 30-foot drop.
It's a big drop.
Right. Actually, behind three of the properties, it's undevelopable. So behind my property, there actually wouldn't have been a duplex. It would have started over in the corner behind the first property to the west of us. But it still would have been down 10 foot below the grade where we're at. So we wouldn't even have seen a roof.
Okay.
I may put a three-story duplex.
That helps with perspective. That helps with the perspective for me.
You know, right now we live with the sirens that come to the fountains in the middle of the night. They wake us up. We throw another senior facility up there, and we, you know, and before, when once again, when we met with the developer a month ago, it was apartments, townhouses, single-family residences. Now we're adding the assisted living and the Alzheimer's wing as well, which starts bringing more ambulance traffic into the area, which just disrupts the residential area that was originally zoned for even more.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the developer?
I'm here to answer any and all questions.
Well, just don't go away, because we might have other folks.
Okay.
Anyone
Absolutely.
Else in the audience that would like to provide input in this matter? Nope. Anyone else in the commission? Janessa?
Do we have confirmation then that those orange buildings will only be townhouse height?
My proposal right now is that where the two south orange buildings would be, those part of the transition would be, those would be three-story, and then the ones across the street to the north would be two-story, to add to that the whole transition going from south to north.
Well, the apartment buildings are three-story, right?
Those are three-story, yes. Mm-hmm. So those would be two-story right there.
We only have one row of the two-story, not two rows.
That's just what I'm, come on, Steve, come on back up.
Should be pink then.
And here's our fear. Just as a little while ago, they said the Alzheimer unit would be one story, now they're all three and two story. So that's our fear, is that they're all gonna be three story.
And they're not. I can and that's when I come in with the site plan. If I come in with a site plan to you folks and I say, okay, you know what, I have changed this from a one-story Alzheimer to a three-story, at that point you'll have the ability to say, no, we're not approving that. The proposed group that wants to put that in, they don't want anything taller than one story for Alzheimer's anyway. So yes, the senior housing will be three. The proposal, as I remember, is two-story for the memory care and then one-story for Alzheimer.
Yeah. Craig, I'd like to ask this question in maybe a different way.
Okay.
So if we approve the change to UMI, what's the tallest that could go in there?
I think it would be if it was like a church or something of that nature, it could be 60 feet, but that was an exception for churches.
Okay.
The highest structure, if I recall correctly, would be 40 feet in height. And that would be atypical of this. That would be the tallest structure.
Okay. I'm just thinking about some past projects where they came back looking different and we'd already approved. Mm-hmm. So if we go to UMI, we're not going to get anything taller than what we're looking at conceptually here right now.
You're pretty much limited to that 40-foot level.
Actually, if I understand this correctly, this gives us the option, the flexibility to say yes or no on things, even just on height. Mm-hmm. As it stands today, it's R3. He could put whatever he wants in R3. And we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So as far as protecting the neighborhood, this is probably the best way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is one of the key differences between a single-use zoning and the DCA form-based zoning. So when it does come back, you would look more at some of the visual and development characters of the plan as opposed to just, is this permitted use? So I think there would be more ability to ensure that it doesn't go beyond what is envisioned.
And Steve, just in amateur interpretation of that from the lawyer, I think there's a better opportunity, I'm just going to say it again one other way, there's a better opportunity to end up with a good result here going with the UMI because of that flexibility versus the R3 and the R5 today entitles them to put the three-story 42-foot right at the north end of the property, theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, theoretically.
That can't happen. We have the ability to not let that happen under the UMI. Am I saying that right, Chris?
I think that's a good way to say it. Before there were a couple of developments that came where we had to do a conditional zoning to address the issue to ensure that it didn't go beyond or to address situations that we wanted to avoid. With a DCA, you have that ability to look more at the form and the development of the area that you are rezoning. So I think that flexibility is part of the DCA form-based zoning concept.
Does that make sense? Are you familiar with what is the dynamic we're talking about? This, since this is a larger parcel, it qualifies for the UMI classification. It has to be 20 acres or greater, so it qualifies for that. And because it does, there's more subjective components in it that we get to do versus the objective. R3, R5 are both entitled to certain provisions as far as code development, and we can't really say no to those in the R3, R5 constraints. We can under the UMI because it's more the spirit of it. So I'm going out on a limb here and say we're from the government, trust us, we're going to help you here. I really think we got more flexibility to make it the way it should be, go in the path that's proposed, as opposed to draw a hard line and we do the R3 and R5, and it could be a lot uglier than we'd ever want it to be. Okay. Anyone else from the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Anyone in the commission or staff?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 18-096, rezoning from R5 to UMI.
Second.
Okay, thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-096. Subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 18-097, rezone R3 to R5 against, or R3 to UMI. Subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-097, rezoning, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-097 is approved. Okay, thanks. Greg?
Next case, Mr. Chairman, is looking at a preliminary plat for Spencer Hollow. Third edition. First edition has already been approved. This location. This is a concept plan that was originally shown for the rezoning of the entirety. There were actually at one time 67 lots on this. The concept showed 67 with this preliminary plat. There are, I believe, 66 lots that are shown. Some of these areas have already been pre-designated to the city as outlots. This one here is for detention, and there are some detention functions here as well. This area here is pretty much runoff. I'll go to the final plat as it was platted. This is the entryway coming off of Forest Grove Drive. And the area up here that we're considering tonight is all the preliminary plat. So that you've got this coming in from the first edition, two different means of entry, Spring Creek Road right here, LV Lane, Marie Court, LV Court, and then Timber Court. All in all, 66 lots are proposed for this R1 zoned area. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. John, any updates since our packet?
I don't believe so.
Okay, thanks. Questions from the commission or comments?
I had one question looking at the concept plan. The area on the top right corner of the concept plan, we go to the other Exhibit B. Greg, thanks. Pictured at the top, is that like a future proposed development, top right corner?
Top right?
That's existing.
Nothing. This is
woods.
This is what they used.
It's turned. It's a different orientation.
This is oriented north.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's
okay.
Turned sideways.
Well, in the picture, in the top right portion, is that something in the future?
No, this is all. This is what they're doing right now. Essentially, is this area right here, and this is what they showed when they did the rezoning.
Sorry,
I wanted to see to indicate basically that the lots, there isn't any difference really in the concept, that they actually lost a lot, from what I can tell.
It's all developed.
Yeah, but they didn't change much because you can still see these outlot areas that were the Parks Department had dedicated, or that the developer is dedicating for detention. In that there was a little bit of a land swap in this thing as well, so they didn't deviate from that concept. Sometimes we'll see something that's done in the rezoning process, and then as we've seen in the past, things change. I wanted to show that there's very little, if any, change between the two that are proposed.
Thanks, Greg. Greg, I think I know the answer to this, but just to confirm it, can you show us on the aerial view where, yes, the park, approximately where the park boundaries are and then where the new school's going?
That's the park area right there.
Okay.
And then this square right there is where the school is.
Okay. So the in the preliminary plat area, what's the status of the property to the north of there and to the north of the park? That's all privately owned?
Yes.
Okay.
And is access to that from Wells Ferry?
I don't believe that that would be possible to this north boundary.
Greg, that's actually all one property owner, the Blanc Farm, that has access through Forest Grove.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anyone else on the commission?
Is Lancaster Drive ever going to be connected?
I don't believe so. That was deliberated when the first edition was considered, and it was truncated. There was a depression in this area where water would tend to coalesce, and I think it was, you know, that is one of the reasons why it was not connected through. So that will never occur.
Anyone else, commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-098, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-098, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-098 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, our next case involves a final plat for what would be considered to be Century Heights 22nd edition. You have the extension of Hopewell going through here. This is 53rd. And then you have the Century Heights 20th and 21st additions. This area right here has already been considered for rezoning at the present. This is a combination of Mason Run and then what was Century Heights Phase 2. And you can see the lots that are here. You have lots 57 through 76, 96 through 101, and 117 through 119 that are part of this Phase 2 preliminary plat. And then in the Mason Run additions, 30 through 37, these lots here are part of that. Now, this is a originally leftover design because Hopewell was at one time considered to take this route, and there was no right-of-way here. But when the city and the developer went back, there was a redesign. It goes straight through now, Hopewell does. So there's this remnant piece that was still not platted that was south of the Hopewell Avenue right-of-way. So that's why that's being included in this proposal. As far as the proposal goes, the only lot that will have access onto Hopewell Avenue will be lot number one. There will be no parking permitted along Hopewell Avenue because of its width. It is a collector street, but it is a diminished width collector street, and in our ordinance, for a subdivision ordinance, does not facilitate parking along Hopewell Avenue. We also have, and maybe our city engineer would like to elaborate on how Outlot A would be handled here as a flag lot, but essentially this distance between this waterway from the bank top, 30 feet either side, has been taken to create an outlot area as part of some of our new standards regarding stormwater and development in areas that we want to try to keep free and clear of any encroachment. And staff, in reviewing this report, would recommend approval with the conditions listed. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. John, any subsequent? Nope. Okay. Questions or comments from the commission, please.
Greg, can you talk to us a little bit more about this Outlot A area?
I think Mr. Morlock would be able to elaborate better than myself.
Yeah, so in our new post-construction ordinance as of 2016, we wanted to make a more concerted effort to preserve natural drainage ways. Previously, we've had drainage easements, no-build easements, those kind of things. Frankly, after our Stafford Creek case and going through there and seeing what came about with the court decision on easement limits, basically, we decided that we would rather have them placed in an outlot. That way we know it's not actually part of anyone's property other than the HOAs, and they'll have a plat note that it can't be built on. Otherwise, if we put it within the easement, then we're still dedicating that property to someone's individual lot. We get into people wanting to put fences back there. If people didn't want the natural drainage, that they might try to do something different. This is our way of protecting those.
And that does carry a fair amount of water.
It does.
From the north.
I believe there's a 60-inch culvert, if not even maybe a 6-foot box that we just constructed with the grading and storm sewer that mm-hmm. we did on Hopewell.
So it's underground or above ground?
Underground.
Okay.
For crossing Hopewell, because we've done the grading and the storm sewer for the future paving that's going to go on next year.
So you made the reference to Stafford Creek, which the grading there is like the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
How will that be addressed with this outlot? Is that all part of the plan for the grading, and how it will, is it going to be changed or?
No, so it'll be an absolute no build area.
Okay.
So we have no plans to, or and no need to stabilize it at this time. If we ever did, you know, then we'd have to work on some language on the plat notes. But by protecting it here and protecting it with future additions upstream, Stafford Creek is, you know, in an area of town where detention doesn't exist. So that's why we have all the erosion issues here.
Mm-hmm.
You have basically no development north of it.
So once the development is completed, how will that be planted? Or
it already is, actually. So if you go, Greg, can you go to the aerial? You can see there is some mm-hmm. natural greenway through there.
Right. Okay.
Obviously
so
it
will it
there,
require any maintenance, or it'll just be in a natural state?
Natural state.
Okay. All right.
Okay, anyone else in the commission? Janessa.
You mentioned that there is no parking on Hopewell Avenue. Is there parking available on Julianne Road?
They will, yeah.
I mean, yes, that would be a local street. Well.
Sure. Yeah.
All the streets.
And what about the court? With, I'm thinking about our townhouses with no parking and lots of driveways. One, two, three, four, five.
That is the larger standard now, the larger bulb. So the amount of green space, snow storage that we have
increased.
Available should be fine
okay.
for a typical residential use
mm-hmm.
as opposed to absolutely some of the multifamily ones.
Anyone else? Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve case number 18-009.
099?
Yep.
I'll second.
Okay, great. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-099, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-099 is approved. And that would bring us to staff update or commission update, John.
Before I do so, I'd like to personally thank you all who were able to make it to the workshop. I know we took a lot of your time on a very busy time of the year, but I do think that it was well overdue that we got everybody together, and obviously we talked about a lot of issues that everybody seems like everyone has the same things on their minds. So that will continue on Wednesday, January 2nd. We're going to be having a special committee of the whole meeting. I anticipate that might start at 5. I don't know that for sure. We will certainly let you know when that's going to be coming about. But if you could pencil in maybe 5 o'clock, that it'll give us plenty of time before the council meeting. Pardon me?
Then how about 5:30?
That might be our section, Janessa. Committee of the Whole meets at 5.
I'm just saying.
They haven't decided. I think we're going to be the Committee of the Whole meeting.
Oh.
And so it all depends on how much time they want to devote to this. So I will certainly let you know. To give you the updates, on December 4th, the City Council approved the site development plan for Forest Grove School and the site development plan for the Villages of the Woodlands, the Windmiller development. December 18th, the City Council approved the rezoning of 40-plus acres west of Criswell Street for the Century Heights addition that will be coming to you in the future that Greg kind of referenced in this last display that he gave you. And I believe that brings you up to date at this point.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of 2018 for the plan and zone and staff, and we thank you very much for your input. It's been a transition year for you guys, I know. And we're looking forward to a great development year in 2019. So thank you for all of your efforts and work. And I think we've made a lot of progress on a number of cases before us where we, again, took the opportunity, like tonight it was noted, to visit with the neighbors, go over things, have everybody understand what's happening. And it's amazing how far that goes to making a good deal for everybody. So I know that doesn't happen by itself, and we do appreciate that. So with that, I will say, Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, and Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night.
Thank you.